together in unison, shall we? For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Amen. You may be seated. The fruit of the Spirit today is kindness. We've already talked about the fruit of the Spirit being love. Talked about that. Fruit of the Spirit being joy. Talked about that. Fruit of the Spirit being peace. And the fruit of the Spirit being patience. How many of you have been given an opportunity in the last few days to exercise all of those, or to try to live up to being a more patient person, to being a more peaceful person, to being a more loving, joyful person? Well, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I know this past week there were a couple of times when I needed a lot more patience. For sure. But you know, we also need kindness. And we need to know what that means. I had a lady in one of my churches. Her name was Frederica. And we called her Freddy, for short. She was a beautiful senior lady up in her 80s. When I went to Dexter about 6 months after I got there, her husband passed away, so I ended up having his funeral, and then I ended up having her funeral too before I left. One of her famous statements was, and she always said it, be kind, be kind. Let's be kind. I think we all need to be kind, because this world today, right now, doesn't know much about kindness. All you need to do is drive in Boston traffic to experience that. Try a little kindness. Why don't you? And there's a song. Remember that song that Glenn Campbell sang? I got the words of it right here. If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed, I'm not going to sing it for you. And if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, you'll overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people in the narrow-minded streets. A lot of truth to that song. I was kind of humming it on the way up here this morning. There's a lot of truth to it. And yet God has called us to try kindness. He's putting us to the test, if you will, to be kind. To be kind and considerate. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Right up here. Kindness. Or what's another word for it? Gentleness, I think, right? Those words are King James words. But kindness is right up there. And you know, if we are to allow the Spirit of God to move in us and through us, kindness needs to be there. And yet, we're called upon to cultivate kindness. Cultivate it. The same as we're called upon to cultivate love, to cultivate joy, to cultivate peace and patience and all of those attributes and all of those fruits of the Spirit. We're called upon as Christians, where the Holy Spirit lives in us, to cultivate them, to enrich them, to see what we can do to make these attributes become more real and much more alive in our lives. For what purpose? So that it would make you and I look good? So that it would make others look good? The real answer is so that it will make God look good. The real answer is so that you and I can be lights shining in darkness, so that you and I can, with integrity, be able to share and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. And so we need to try a little kindness. Show a little kindness. For heaven's sakes, world, be kind. Kind. There's a lot of people that are kind out there, and they know nothing about Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people out there that are kind, and but you never see them in a church. But yet, they can sometimes put Christians to shame as to what kindness is all about. Well, a couple of ways I want to approach this today, and another little story. I like stories. We all remember Mr. Rogers, right? Mr. Rogers passed away about 10 years ago. He had cancer. And a year or two before he died, someone in Philadelphia where he lived stole his car. He had a new car, and somebody came right to his doorstep and stole his car. Well, the news media got a hold of the story, and before long, all the local TV stations were broadcasting. I mean, this was number one news in Philadelphia, that someone had stolen Mr. Rogers' car. Thousands of Philadelphia citizens saw the story, including the one who stole the car. And so, this criminal had dealt with his own share of difficult times, but he knew that when he was small, when he was just a little tyke, Mr. Rogers was his favorite character on TV. Mr. Rogers meant an awful lot to him, and he had had a positive influence on him. Well, not to steal cars, but he had a positive influence on him. Within 48 hours, after this young man saw that Mr. Rogers lost his car that had been stolen, guess what? He took his car back and put it in the exact same spot from which he stole it, along with a note saying this: If we'd known it was yours, I would have never taken it. So how's that for kindness? Kindness may be one of the most underrated fruits of the fruit stand of the Spirit that God gives us. It may be one of the most underrated of them all, but yet it can be one of the most significant. It can be one of the most important. And just so you'll see the graph, I've got another slide to put up there, if you would, Aaron, please. That second one I asked you. No, not that one. With all the fruits. There we go. The fruit of the Spirit: love seeks the highest good of others. Joy, gladness that is not based on circumstances. Peace, contentment, unity between people. Patience, slow to speak, slow to anger. And kindness, merciful, sweet, and tender. Merciful, sweet, and tender? You gotta be kidding. This world showing any of that today? Not much of it. Sweetness. Sweetness. You know, some of us are kind of sour. And when you look at them at 6 o'clock in the morning, you can understand why. But God has called us to be sweet. He's called us to be sweet with His Spirit. And that's where kindness comes in. That's where kindness can have an impact. Three things I want to just share with you. I want to, first of all, define what kindness is. Kindness has all kinds of different definitions. And when you think of the word kindness, what comes to mind? Do you think of the nice grandmother figure that's waiting there with a bunch of cookies in her hand for you? You know, some of us might think of kindness in that way. It's kindness, is kindness an emotional feeling? Some may say it is an emotional feeling. The English word for kindness, the dictionary defines kindness as the practice of being for the capability to be sympathetic and compassionate. Now, that's a lot of jumble, humble words. But the English word does not fully capture the meaning of the original word. Kindness is more than being capable of being sympathetic and compassionate. It's more than that. The word derives from a verb meaning to take into use and has the basic sense of being useful, of being serviceable, of being excellent in whatever you do. It relates to a tender concern that you have for others, even an empathy for others. It has nothing to do with weakness. Some people think, you know, if someone is kind, that means they're weak. No. Actually, it means they're strong. It has nothing to do with weakness or a lack of conviction, but it is the genuine desire of believer to treat others gently, just as the Lord treats him. You know, some of us are kind of like a bull in a china shop, aren't we? We really are. And we can move things around, and we can get mad, and we can fly off the handle, and our emotions sometimes get the best of us. And sometimes the things we say and the things we do not project much kindness. There's a gentleness. I wish I had more of it. I know there are times when I really become unglued, as many of us do. There are times when I pray that God would make me more gentle. Sometimes, you know, we're able to exercise kindness when someone experiences a loss. You know, someone passes on. It seems as though everybody's kind. Everybody's there. Everybody is right on their doorstep with a batch of cookies or a meal or some good things. That's part of it. That's part of it. Kindness is more than compassion. If you think about Jesus, you see that Jesus was a picture of kindness. He exemplified kindness. And the scriptures tell us in Matthew 19 that some children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said this, "Let the little children come unto me. Do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." On another occasion, the kindness of Jesus came out forthright when he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle," or "I am kind. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest to your souls." One of my favorite verses. Come to me. You know how many times Jesus said that? Come to me. Come to me. All you are weary, heavy laden. Come to me. Come to me with your problems. Come to me with your heartaches. Come to me with your shortcomings. Come to me. When Jesus calls those who are weary and heavy laden to come to him for rest, his kindness towards them shows us how important we are to him and just how kind he really is. The second thing we see, not just a definition, but there's, as we look at the person of Jesus Christ, Jesus has exhibited kindness to us. If we want a true example of kindness, we look at Jesus. Because he is the master kind person. Because he understands my weakness. He understands your weakness. He knows why we have weaknesses. And he has compassion for us. And if Jesus did not understand our weakness, then he would not be able to be kind to us when we're going through the valley of the shadow of disappointment or the valley of the shadow of death or whatever valley it is, whatever low points it might be in our lives. He said this, we have a chief priest in Hebrews. A chief priest, and that's Jesus, who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He was, listen to this, tempted in every way like we are, but he didn't sin. That was Jesus. And so we can go confidently, he says. We can go confidently to the throne of God's kindness to receive mercy and find kindness, which is able to help us at the right time, the scripture says. That's awesome. That's awesome. Jesus walked in our shoes. And because of that, he relates to us. He exemplified kindness. Jesus will be gentle and kind to you because he knows you're going through a tough time. Jesus can be gentle and kind to you because he knows why you are struggling. You can come to him with your struggle today. You can come to him with your pain. You can come to him with your broken relationships. You can come to him with your sin. And he'll be kind to you. He'll be kind. But Jesus tells me the truth. He doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't pull the wool over our faces. He tells me the truth. And telling the truth in love is part of being kind. Being kind does not mean that you're being deceitful. Being kind does not mean that you're just telling half-truths. It means that you tell the truth in love and kindness. Some people don't know how to tell the truth in love. I struggle with that myself. I want to be able to be truthful. I want to be able to tell the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth puts us in a bad position, in an awkward position. Sometimes it does that. But we're to tell the truth in love. When we do that, we're kind. We would be unkind if we didn't tell the truth in love. We would be unkind if we kind of just swept it under the carpet. That would not be kindness. It's so sad to see so many people who are living a life of sin, and people excuse their sin by telling them maybe that they're born that way or some other excuse they come up with. Jesus said this, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The kindness of Jesus is expressed. He has set us free from the bondage of sin by being truthful to us. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father apart from me. So he's the way, he's the truth, he's life. But he's kind. He's kind. And the kindness of Jesus is expressed in his forgiveness. The fact that he has reached out to you and to me. When we invite him into our lives, he forgives us of our sin. And he gives us the promise of eternal life, a home in heaven. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper today. That's why we have communion. The Bible tells us that all have sinned, and all have come short of the glory of God. But yet, Jesus found us worthy, and He saved us from our sin. How kind is that? How kind is that? If we cannot forgive someone, do you think we're going to treat them with kindness? Forgiveness is a big issue. It's hard to be kind to someone you cannot forgive. It's hard to be kind without experiencing the kindness of God in your life through redemption. It starts right there. He affirms my worth, for sure. By dying on the cross, by that very act of kindness, my worth is affirmed. You see, kindness is not based in yourself. It's not based in other people. It's not based in the world system. It's based upon the merits of Jesus Christ. He says, you're worth something. He says, you have significance. You have meaning. You have purpose. And I want you to experience that in your life. I want you to live your life to the fullest, experiencing my kindness every day. We need to know that people are valuable to God. And here's the last thing I want to share with you. How do we foster an attitude of kindness? How do we create an environment of kindness? How do we cultivate that kindness? How do we do that? Well, we need to be aware of what kindness can really do for ourselves and for other people. Exhibiting kindness to others can have dramatic effects on the lives of other people. Do you know that people are brought into the kingdom of God because of kindness? Do you know that the reason why most people come to Christ is because of the kindness of God's people and sharing the love of God? There's so much of it for us to take in. We also need to be willing to be inconvenienced. Sometimes it's not pretty trying to show kindness. Sometimes it means that we have to go out of our way. Sometimes it means that we're just going to be inconvenienced. And so, I think of the story of the Good Samaritan. If you remember that story, he went out of his way to help a person in need. And we must be willing to allow ourselves to be inconvenienced if we're going to show kindness to others. But always remember that others have been kind to you. If you were to think back the years of your life today, well, even this past week, can you think of situations where people have been kind to you? I can. The gal at Dunkin' Donuts this morning, in the drive-thru. She was very nice. Very kind. And you know, those things stick. Those things are helpful to brighten your day. Those things are, you know, those situations and those events can be a blessing because you may be going through a tough day. You may be going through, you know, misery in your life. And someone comes up with saying a kind word or being kind through their actions, and can make all the difference in the world. Really can. I'm thankful for how God has called us here as a church family, because I see us being kind. But yet we can be kinder. We can increase that level of kindness as we see needs and as we experience others. So you never know when your kindness could change the life of another person. You never know. God wants all of His people to be kind, to be compassionate. When we allow the Spirit to grow in our lives, we will be able to be kind to those around us. Let me just close by reading Ephesians 2, 4 to 7. And it's a great verse. Ephesians 2, if I can find it. And it's the theme of the grace of God. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 7. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in kindness or mercy, God who is rich in kindness, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses and sins. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, I pray this morning that if there's anyone here that may need to accept the kindness of God, that You would speak to that person's heart today and woo them into Your eternal kingdom. Thank You, Lord, the ultimate act of kindness was Jesus dying on the cross for my sin. Thank You, Lord, that we can allow Your Spirit to grow in our lives so that we will be able to be kind to those around us. Oh, Lord, settle it in our hearts, we pray. Help us to try a little kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.